We are Quixie 98.3. It is Trisha and Tim Isaacs, the principal at Central Hardin High School, hanging out with me this morning. Did you ever dream of being in radio?
No, but I've had so much fun this morning.
Yeah? So, you know, maybe once you retire from education, maybe you could come over and work with us.
I could do that.
So, speaking of education, how long have you been in education?
This is, I came to Central Hardin in 1997.
Okay.
The 97-98 school year, been there ever since. In January, I'll finish up 14 years as principal.
Okay. Is this what you always wanted to do?
I was in residential treatment, worked for the old Glendale Children's Home from 91 until I came to Central in 97. And then I came to Central to be a coach. I was blessed to play for Terry Buckles, whose name's on the floor there at Central Hardin. And I had the opportunity to go coach for him. And I thought my goal was to actually, when he decided to retire, to try to be the next girls basketball coach. And, you know, I always say you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, wait, watch this. Yeah. This is what I've got in mind.
For you.
Yeah. So I think your story, though, you know, you just your personal story and your growth that you have had is a very interesting one. And I think it gives people a lot of hope.
I appreciate that. I did not come to Hardin County voluntarily. I came to in 1981. I was 14 years old. I'm originally from the Louisville area. Got in a lot of trouble. My parents went through just a nasty, terrible divorce. I'm two of five children. And my philosophy at that stage in my life is if I was going to be miserable, then everyone around me got to be miserable with me. Stopped going to school, started getting in a lot of legal trouble. By the time I was 14, a psychiatrist basically told my mother that something had to change or I'd be dead before I was 16 years old.
Wow.
So she was able to find, he told her basically, she can quit her jobs, and she was working two jobs to pay the mortgage. She can quit her job, stay home with me 24/7, which was, you know, not an option, or she could find somebody who could. And they found the Kentucky Baptist Homes for Children at the time and the Glendale Children's Home. So I went from Louisville to Glendale and learned words like yonder and britches.
Like a whole nother language.
It was. It's like, I was like, where, what has she done to me?
And I'm not even that far from home.
No. But it was far enough where they knew that I would stay put and blessings that I did.
So at that, you were how old at that point?
14.
14.
Yes.
And so how long were you there?
I stayed a year. They thought, you know, and I do not consider myself, I consider myself to be a somewhat intelligent person. And when somebody's watching, I knew how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did for a year and they let me go back home. The problem was the environment hadn't changed and neither had the everything that was inside of me that was causing the behavior. So about 9 months later, I was right back where I started. I was failing every class because I wasn't going to school anymore. And I actually got arrested at a YMCA there in St. Matthews. And this was the 1980s. So back then they called your parents. So the police were there and my mom walked in and my mom just shook her head and said, nah, not this time. He's going with you. Mm-hmm. And she let the police take me away. And that evening, I reached out to a man named Buckley Carlin. He was the director of the children's home. He had actually lived there himself in the 50s. And I said, Mr. Carlin, can I come home? And I'm sorry, I get a little choked up when I think about that, because he was always there for me. And he brought me back, and I stayed till I graduated high school from East Hardin in 1986, went on to college. And then when the opportunity came to come back to work for them in 1991, I jumped at it, and I loved my time there.
And so you were there for, you know, until you graduated.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, obviously people in your life that impacted you in
absolutely
a positive
and
way.
And that's really what drove me to where I am. It truly is kind of a pay it forward. I always tell people that I didn't grow up Baptist, but they didn't ask that question. My mom couldn't afford to pay a dime for my care. They didn't ask that question. They asked, what do you need and how can I provide it? And that's kind of been, that's what drives me in education. So when I've got a reputation that I will take kids that come, and because that somebody took me when mm-hmm. I needed them. So my philosophy is, what do you need and how can we provide it?
And you don't always know, as a principal, you don't know the whole story, the behind the scenes of
exactly
these kids'
right.
situations.
And I think we all forget that. Our life is shaped by our experiences and how we've reacted to them. And we got to meet kids where they're at, and they're facing some scary things these days.
They
are.
We've
got to be prepared to understand where they're coming from. Now, that doesn't mean you don't hold them accountable.
Right.
And we got to be accountable for our decisions making. You feel empathy, not sympathy.
Right. And you give them hope.
Yes.
I think it's really important for people to hear your story, because you're not just saying it. You're not, you actually lived it.
Well, and somebody invested in me. So now it's my job to invest in the kids that I'm blessed to have there at Central Heart.
Good morning, Quixie.
Yes, the gentleman that you just had on there.
Yeah, Mr. Isaacs. He's here.
He is absolutely amazing for sharing his story, because I've got a grandchild myself going through some hardship, and she has a principal that stands by her like that. And I just want to let him know that he's amazing, and I appreciate everything he does.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Thanks.
It means a lot to those children in your life, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling.
God bless you. Yes, have a great day.
You too.